Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, I am so excited to bring on someone we've had before, someone you are probably very well aware of, someone who I am just so excited to chat with again and privileged to call a friend. Welcome to the show, Meg Boggs.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this since you reached out like a long time ago. So I'm like, it's finally here. We're finally doing it.
I know. And wow, you are on a whirlwind. All that you are doing is so, so incredible. Why don't you just introduce yourself to any of the listeners who aren't familiar with you and the work that you do?
Sure. So my name is Meg Boggs. I am a content creator, blogger, athlete, author, whatever you want to kind of put a title to it. I'm still honestly trying to figure out what exactly I do, because whenever somebody asks me that, I'm usually like, well, you know, I try and inspire and empower people in whatever way feels right in the moment. Maybe that's talking about how I feel empowered through motherhood, or how I feel empowered and inspired when I'm working out and lifting heavy weights. I love talking about mental health and just inclusivity in general in all spaces. And that's kind of what I do. And I'm on TikTok now. I feel like a cool kid. I'm trying to like learn dances.
I'm just excited. I love it. I haven't gotten there yet myself, but I love watching your videos. Absolutely. Oh, well, you were on the show back in 2018, episode number 19. And you, I knew there was something magical about you when I first connected with you in 2018. And when I had you on the show, you weren't even a year into your work and you had 24,000 followers on Instagram. Meg, how many followers do you have now?
Probably, I think like 300. And
yeah,
I'm not sure the exact number.
324,000 followers. And I get asked like quite often when I'm like, oh, who should we have on the show? People are like, Meg Boggs. Like, you are so incredibly inspirational.
Oh my gosh.
It's so true. And when we first connected, your focus was really on motherhood. You had just had your daughter Macy and you were sharing that journey. And it was also a journey of self-love. And it was a lot of empowering messages on letter boards and showing your belly and going to places that were raw and vulnerable. And I look at your Instagram now and I just see like the evolution of Meg from, you know, the woman who's trying to figure out this identity as a mother to now really coming into who you are today. And like looking at your Instagram, you know, you put author and athlete, advocate, and then mother. And I just thought that was such a beautiful evolution and something that so many of us moms can relate to as our kids start to get older and we try to find ourselves. But there are so many of us who get lost in that. So I'd love to hear from you, like, what has this journey of self-discovery been like?
Wow, that was like, it's so interesting because when we first recorded together, you know, I think you said 2018, right? That was like, that was at the very beginning. I mean, I was so new to being like, to having like a following and a community. And it was all based on like my new kind of my thought process and mindset that was shifting because of motherhood. That's where it all started. Because of having my daughter, it just made me kind of think of things through a different lens, or trying to look at things through a different lens and do what I felt like was going to be best for her as she grows into the woman that she's going to become. And that's kind of where it started shifting. And I started thinking internally, like, you know, I really need to get myself together. I need to like learn to appreciate myself and give myself compassion, because I want her to give herself compassion as she gets older and to love herself and be who she truly is. And I have to figure out who I am because or else she's not going to understand that. So that's kind of where it all started. And once I did start kind of figuring out like, well, what do I like? What do I enjoy? It turned out that I enjoyed powerlifting. And that's where I found it. I was still, when we recorded, I was still very new to it. I started, and I don't know what part of 2018 we recorded, but I know that I started.
It was lifting. September.
Okay. So I hadn't even been powerlifting for a year at that point. I started in January and just slowly started seeing like what I like and what I enjoyed. And that's what I found made me really happy and made me feel like I was becoming who I'm supposed to be, somebody who likes to lift really heavy things. And I never expected that. And so that's where the fitness kind of started evolving from there is I didn't really feel comfortable at that time posting too many fitness videos or anything like that. I was still trying to pull myself away from diet culture and understand that my body is not wrong. And that just because I'm not going to lose 150 pounds, that's not going to mean that I'm a failure as a mother or as a woman or as an adult, as a human. It was a lot to overcome during that time.
I can imagine. Yeah, I think when people, you know, pull up your Instagram, they're like, wow, this is someone who's got it all figured out. And like, you know, you do these videos and your sports bras and leggings and you show up and you're like, I'm here. But that didn't happen overnight.
No.
And I'm sure there are times where it's still hard to show up, maybe not physically, but just to mentally show up as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Especially when I always feel like I'm being pulled in two different directions because I have this fitness world that is all about weight loss and transforming your body physically. And then you have the other side where it's more like wellness, body positive focused, where it's like, we don't talk about, you know, food or dieting or anything, which I don't do. Like I don't diet. Yeah. I've completely let that go. I think whenever we were talking last time, I was still kind of considering at the time. I don't know if I was publicly talking about that, but I was considering getting on some type of restrictive diet just so that I could feel better, quote unquote. And I still was believing that messaging. But it just, the more that I would try and do those things and say, okay, well, I'm going to meal prep an exact calorie amount this week. Whenever I would do that, I would immediately notice that my mood would change, that I would become anxious and it would just be overwhelming for me. And once I just cut that out and like stopped focusing on weight loss and dieting and started shifting my focus to being strong and powerful and experiencing what it's like to move my body and be thankful for that, the transformation just was like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. And I really feel like that was the biggest step that I made, was saying, I will never diet again. I will never put myself on a restriction that doesn't have to do with my actual health. You know, like there's things I can't eat because it makes my stomach upset. That's one thing, but to restrict just in order to lose weight, I had to let go of that. And I think once I did that, it just, I don't know, I feel so happy.
It took off.
Yeah,
but you are consistently battling against that, the messages that fitness must be tied to weight loss, and I see your images stolen continuously by weight loss shakes and pills and snake oils, and that's got to be hard to see your body being used to sell something that you know has harmed yourself for years and harms countless others.
Yeah, and it's every day. I get those messages every day from people in my community that are just like, I saw that you were in this video. I doubt you gave them permission to use this because they're promoting a diet. And I know you're not about that. And I'm so thankful for that. But man, it gets so exhausting because it's like, I don't have time to just go and, you know, try and get all these people to take it down. So at one point I just gave up. I was like, I can't put my energy on that. It's going to happen. I can't control it. And it, unfortunately, like, people are going to see that, and hopefully they won't feel like pressure to change themselves and get sucked into that. But at the same time, it's interesting because the stuff that they share is like stuff that I'm specific. I'll have like text on the actual video that I post, and it's like anti-diet, and they will still share it and be like, try this diet. And I'm like, my video literally says like anti, like, I don't understand how you feel like that was promoting. But just because I'm in a big body, it's like, well, it doesn't matter what the text says or what the messaging is. Clearly she's a bigger girl and she's trying to lose weight. And there's no way that's not the case.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
I know.
And so that's one side of it. And then you mentioned the other side of it with the fat advocacy world too. And what has been your relationship there with showing up and fitness?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close to as insane like the fitness side is. Whenever they kind of come at me and attack me and tell me that I'm like discouraging fat people and all this negativity. On the other side, it's not like I don't have people DMing me from the, you know, fat advocacy or body positive. Like, they're not messaging me telling me that I'm doing wrong or anything. I just feel like in the conversations that I have had, it just seems like there is confusion, because when I do share, I do share things like Blue Apron, how I love that. I mean, I use Blue Apron every single week. It's one of my favorite things.
Hey, it makes your life easier, right? You have meals prep done.
Yes. It's so convenient. Yes. And like, I don't have to worry about it. And I know all of that food feels good for my body. I've never had one that's bad. And so like, I like talking about that. I sometimes like talking about the protein shakes that I'm using, because I know that it's really beneficial for me and my body. Maybe not everybody needs it, which is absolutely true. But when I start talking about those things, like, there's that middle blurry area of it feeling like it's more on the diet culture side. That's where it gets difficult for me. So I have a hard time sharing like anything that I'm eating in my stories or talking about anything related to food or supplements or protein. I want to, and I'm about to start just being like, you know, screw it. I'm going to start talking about these things, and because they're part of my life and these are things that make me happy, and clearly they're not going to work for everybody. Just like when I share a powerlifting video, that's not going to work for everybody. Not everybody is going to want to do that, but I'm sharing it because it's part of my life and I don't feel like that's harmful. So I'm trying to find a space
for balance.
And I feel like there's not very many people that are in the same space as me. It's always like an either or. And that's been like the most difficult thing.
No, I feel that like with my walking recently, I've started to get some of that. Well, oh, you must be on a weight loss journey, but I thought you were a fat advocate messages. And those to me have honestly been soul crushing compared to I got a comment on my blog just yesterday that was just like, oh, you know, encouraging obesity and motherhood, you're a horrible person. And that I'm like, you're the horrible person. Right. Delete. Yeah. But the other messages from like people that I feel like I've worked so hard to encourage moms and people to be comfortable in their bodies and to love themselves and to show up and to advocate for health care that they deserve and to live their lives and to break up with diet culture, to have people from the community that I felt like I've been, you know, working my booty off for almost a decade to support, to be like, well, because you're exercising, you're turning your back on. And I'm like, but actually, when we look at the principles of health at every size, isn't what Meg's doing and I'm doing and so many other people doing, isn't that truly health at every size?
Exactly.
Eating in a way that fuels our body and we love the food, like you with Blue Apron, and moving in ways that bring us joy. And you clearly have found so much joy with Powerlift. I've seen how it has just transformed you in so many ways. You're a badass. I love it. I'm cheering all the time when watching your stories. I'm like, yeah, Meg! It's who you are. And And that's got to be hard. It's been newer for me to see that other side of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's because like, nobody comes at me hard. It's not like, it's more like a disappointed parent, you know, like,
yeah.
Like you have the angry brothers over here in the fitness world that are like, oh, you need to diet, like you're a horrible person. And then on the other side, it's the disappointed parent that's like, oh man, like I trusted you. And now you're just, you know, falling for the trap and you're exercising.
Yeah.
And it's like that. That's not, if anybody really paid attention to the messages that I share, I'm constantly advocating for moving your body in ways that feel best for you and understanding that movement is also a privilege. And that's something that we don't really talk yeah. about very much, you know, I have a lot of people who follow me who can't work out because of chronic illnesses, you know,
yeah.
so, but they're inspired in different ways. Like it inspires them to better themselves in other ways outside of that specific type of movement. And so it frustrates me to my core whenever
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. I do my best, but I'm sure that you're getting that too. As soon as I saw you doing your walking and I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like that's incredible. Like that goal, like that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like there's so many yeah. ways that you can set a goal for yourself that's fitness related that is just going to make you feel good. And I love what you're doing. Like it inspired me. I'm like, oh, maybe I need to take up walking.
Oh, well, I mean, you've inspired me and weightlifting isn't necessarily my jam. I mean, I look at you and all, but you've inspired me just to move and to find something that feels good. And for me, it just happens to be walking, but it also came out of mental health and really being in crisis in 2020. And you talk a lot about mental health. How has fitness and mental health intertwined for you?
Oh, it's been a game changer. I can't like even put into words really the way that I feel whenever I work out, because it's like you're in your body, but it's an out of body experience almost, because,
yeah.
And that's also why I record myself, because that has helped my mental health as well. Just being able to go back and look and see how my body bends and it moves and it folds and it lifts, and it inspires me to witness myself, and that's impacted my mental health a lot, because I feel like
yeah.
I don't get as anxious anymore. Like I have really, really bad anxiety, and I have frequent panic attacks at times. And so whenever I work out less and I have less movement, like last week, it was a snowstorm over here in Texas.
And in Texas. Oh, my heart.
Yeah, it was a lot last week. So obviously I couldn't really do anything. We were stuck in our yeah. house, and it was a whole week that I really didn't get any movement in. My parents were here. Our house was full because we were housing my family that lost all their power. And I had no time or space to exercise. I couldn't go outside, no space in our house. But I noticed at the end of that I started feeling more anxious, that I could tell that I was needing that movement and that I wasn't thinking as clear anymore. And I could mm-hmm. feel myself falling kind of backwards into that depressive state. And as soon as I worked out, like earlier this week and again yesterday, I feel it subsiding. I feel like, okay, I can kind of breathe a little bit easier and I can think more clearly. I don't have nearly as many intrusive thoughts, especially when I'm driving. That's when I get like the most anxiety, is when I'm on the road. And I notice that kind of going away. I can, you know, sit in the car and not clench onto anything or automatically like pretend to brake if I'm not driving. And that's where I see it in my mental health. Those are like little things that I feel like not very many people talk about when it comes to working out, but it's one of the biggest benefits. And clearly it's not going to take away all of your mental health disorders. It's not going to cure that.
It's not a replacement for medication in
exactly.
any
yeah.
way, shape or form. No,
but it's the little things
or whatever. Yeah. No, it helps you to show up daily, I think, and like that reduction of anxiety. I definitely feel that as well. I really appreciate that you are so vulnerable and sharing the hard stuff, because it's so easy just to look at someone like you and your feed and be like, wow, like, you know, I want to be like them and they've got it all together and they make these fun, awesome videos. Yeah. And but then just to be like, hey, like, this isn't every day. Like, no, I struggle too. I'm like you. I've got a kid that I've got to, you know, care for and try to care for myself and all the things. And it's so, so powerful. How has fitness impacted your relationship with food beyond just that I'm breaking up with diet culture, but that showing up every day? How do you balance the messages of not just on Instagram and your community, but the messages of society? Even I'm sure when you walk into your gym, there are certain messages that you have to see about, oh, well, you should be eating this or you should be doing that, when you are so focused on fitness and how you feel in your body.
Gosh, that's a loaded question, because it's something, sorry, it's something I'm still working on. You know, I mentioned a lot of this in my book, but it's like seeing when you walk into a gym and the first thing that you see when you walk in is like, you know, 50% off weight loss plans, transform your body. And then there's like a before and after, and then you look exactly like the before. Yeah. It's like having to feel that often. It's really, really difficult, and it's a very long process to get through that. And a lot of what I do personally, everybody's very different, so this clearly won't work for everybody, but I have to journal how that makes me feel. I have to write it down, and I have to say exactly how that made me feel. And some days I'll write down that I feel like I don't want to be here anymore, that I don't want to do this anymore. And that's how low it'll get me some days. Some days I don't feel it as much, and I noticed that what I wrote down was, you know what, whatever, screw them. Like, I'm me, I'm who I am. I killed my workout. I did amazing. I feel good. I feel hydrated. I had sex last night. I feel great. Like, there's all these other things that I write down. And if I don't do that and I don't acknowledge how it makes me feel, and I just push it away and push it down and pretend like it didn't happen, it's only going to progress into something worse. And eventually where I can't do it anymore, and I just step away and I say, I can't face that anymore. Like, I don't want to get on social media anymore. I also on social media sometimes take a step back, and I'll go a couple of days where I don't share anything in my stories or I don't post anything. And I just need to have a moment. And usually when I do that, I feel like a lot of my community now knows whenever I'm going through a little something, because I will take a step back like that. And they'll check in with me and be like, I hope you're doing okay. I know you're not sharing anything. And they just know that that's what happens to me. I have to take a step back. Because sometimes I do get a swarm of DMs. Like, I'll have a big fitness YouTuber that I'll make a video, and all of their little followers will come to my page because they were talking bad about me. And they'll come over here and send me all these DMs about how terrible I am and how I'm going to die early and all these things. And no matter how strong I am, no matter how much journaling or meditating or therapy I've been through, that's going to hurt. And it's never going to be where I am totally fine and I can completely brush it off. It's always going to sting. And in order for me to get through something like that, I just have to take a step back and say, it's affecting me. I know that it hurts right now and I'm allowed to feel hurt, but I'm going to take a step back and I'm not going to share anything for the next 2 or 3 days. Let that kind of subside. Let the other DMs start coming in and then just go from there. And then I can come back. I'm refreshed. I journaled. I spent some time with myself and I talked to my husband and I vented and I really expressed how I felt out loud. And it just kind of moves on from there. But I think a lot of people ask me that question and they wonder, well, you know, what is the secret answer? And there is none. It's just a matter of navigating each experience that you go through and letting yourself feel it. If you don't allow yourself to feel it and allow yourself to experience the pain that it's causing, it's just going to sit with you and that pain will never kind of be released. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, it's so true. And I love the suggestion of journaling. That's something that I definitely want to take up better. And
you find out a lot about yourself. Yeah. If you do that.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm a little afraid to do that. But you also mentioned, you know, boundaries. And here on the show, we believe that boundaries are sexy. So I think that that's so critically important because one thing that I've always loved about you is that you show up authentically as Meg. Like, you are who you are. You answer your DMs. You are the person. And if you don't take that time for yourself, then eventually you'll either just stop showing up completely or you won't be the one showing up. You'll just be the one producing the content. And, you know, who you are, it's not just the content. It's how you show up in the world that has inspired so many people to know that they're not alone in this adventure that we're in called parenthood or just life, right?
Right.
And people don't have to be a mom or a parent to follow you, but that's definitely where I stepped in with following you in those messages as well. And so going back to your community, from me remembering back in 2018, it was the community that encouraged you to share more fitness stuff, right? I remember you asking, like, do you guys really want to see this?
Yes, because I would notice anytime I would post a fitness video, and I would always be so nervous before I would post it. But every time I would post something, it's like it would do really well. And people were commenting and sharing it. And it was why is this doing so well? Why are people so interested in this? And so I knew that I loved it so much, but I didn't know if there was a space for me to share that because I felt like there would be pressure to talk about my goal weight or talk about, that side, you know? And so once I asked everybody, hey, you know, is this something that you would be interested in seeing more of? I mean, I did not expect the response. And so I do my best to like share as much fitness content as I can because it's so fun for me. It's like my favorite thing to create. It's just, it makes me so happy. And I don't know, let me tell you this, once I put athlete in my bio, I was like, I am a new woman. Like, who am I? I'm the athlete. Like, it was just the most empowering thing ever.
You are. What was that moment? When did you put that in there? Was it after the Under Armour big event that you went to? That felt like a changing, kind of like a catalyst.
Yes.
Yeah. That invitation.
Yeah. So they asked me to come to they had like some big human performance summit where they were inviting lots of athletes and influencers, pretty much any influencer that was also an athlete was invited because there was going to be workouts and we were going to get to see like all the innovations and the technology and how they're crafting all of their equipment. And it was really cool to be invited to that. I was like, me? Really? Like, I was shocked.
Yeah.
And whenever I got there, I noticed that I was the only plus size athlete there. Anybody who was plus size that was at this event worked at the event for Under Armour.
Okay. Sorry, Meg, what year was this?
This was last year, January of 2019.
Right. So this was 2019.
No, 2020. That was last year, right? Yeah. January 2020.
It's all a blur. We just pretend like 2020 didn't happen. It was January. It was January of 2020. I'm sorry. Can you again repeat yourself? You were the only plus size athlete there. And it was January of 2020. There is so much frustration. And there's so much to that that is upsetting. But I'm glad that you were there. I'm so glad you were there.
Me too. It was completely overwhelming, though. I did not expect to be the only one that looked like me there.
Right.
Everybody else there was like chiseled. Like, they were like six pack abs. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to work out with these people. Like, how is this gonna work? And I have a whole chapter in my book about the Under Armour experience and what I went through that first night. Because that first night, after I saw everybody and I saw the athletes and I knew that the next morning I was going to have like a boxing class. And I just kept thinking, like, what if I just make a fool of myself and I show up to this class? Yeah. I've never done boxing in my life. So it's not like I'm powerlifting and something I'm comfortable with. I'm doing something brand new. And what are they going to think of me? Like, are they going to make fun of me? Are people going to be looking at me to see how bad I'm doing? And I just completely overwhelmed myself. But I ended up showing up. And
proud of you.
I said, you know what, I'm going to go all in and I'm going to give it my complete all. And I'm going to introduce myself to people. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. And I'm just going to own who I am and that I deserve to be here. And so I just put that mindset on. And the rest of the time, wow. I mean, I made so many friends. We still are friends on Instagram. Good. And they're so kind. They made me feel like I belong there. And I, even during one of the little segments where we were all in groups and they were showing off like the new women's leggings and how it was like this new type of technology that wicks your sweat like never before. I mean, they were just raving on and on about it. And I was like, this is so cool. And then eventually they were like, yeah, so all the women here, because it was like a mix of us in my small group, there was probably about 20 of us. They said, all the women, that's what you got sent and that's what you're wearing. And I looked down and I'm like, wait a second. I'm not wearing those leggings. Like everybody else is wearing them, but I'm not. Like, what's going on? And so in that moment, I was like, okay, this is your chance. Like you have Under Armour literally right in front of you.
Yes. And get them.
I was like, if you do not say anything right now, this will be one of your biggest regrets. And so I was like, I took a big gulp and I like raised my hand. And I was like, I just have a quick question. I noticed that everybody else is wearing these leggings, but I'm not. I actually wear a size 2X and I was sent these leggings. Is there any reason that you would need to release the, you know, straight sizes before releasing the plus sizes? Or is that just not a priority? And
ooh, yeah.
And everybody, like you could hear a pin drop in that room because everybody just turned and looked at me and they were just like, and then they looked back at the ladies up the front and they were like, this is bad. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think that's probably ever happened to them before. I don't think they've ever showcased items to somebody who was actually a plus size athlete standing there like, hey, what about me? Like they actually got to hear the voice of the plus size community in that moment. And the next day we were lifting and their answer, by the way, was that yes, it's definitely priority. It's just that they were only releasing a limited amount and that they had just launched plus size actually 2 months prior. So 2 months before I was there,
2 months
was the first time they had ever released any plus sizes online.
Wow.
So, oh my gosh. So they were like, it's coming. You just, this was just where
just
we're starting.
Yeah. Wait a bit longer.
Yeah. And yeah. So I was just like, okay. And like, yeah, they could see the disappointment. Well, the next day we had like a little moment where we could go and work out on our own. And so I was lifting and all of a sudden I saw those three women that were like the main Under Armour women team. They were like the top people. I saw them coming around the corner and I was like in the middle of a lift and I was like, oh man, there's those people. And I drop my weight and they walk over straight to me and they're like, hey, do you have a second? We just want to like chat with you. If you have time. And I'm like there, I'm literally dripping sweat, like just like panting. I'm like breathing all over them. Like, I'm yeah, sure. And so we go off to the side and they talk to me and they're like, you know, that really made an impact on us yesterday. And we just wanted to let you know that we are going to be pushing so hard in the next couple months to make sure that we release as many items as possible. We really want to expand this. If you want, you can send us all of your feedback with what we gave you for now, since we know that we only have, you know, a handful of items. And I was like, sure. And so I ended up sending them lots of feedback. And even to this day, I'm still testing out items for them and giving feedback. And it's amazing because they have grown so much. Like if you go to their plus size, they're constantly pushing out new items and just trying to make them better. And I've seen the difference between those leggings they gave me then to now. It is completely different and shaped different and just constructed beautifully. And it's exciting. And that from that moment, I was like, you know what? Like, they treated me like an athlete. I am an athlete. And
you are an athlete and a change maker too. Like, you spoke up and that made a difference, not only for you and those people in the room that learned from that, but clearly from everyone now who will have more access to inclusive clothing from Under Armour, and I'm sure many other brands as well. So thank you, Meg.
Yeah, I'm just so grateful for that experience. And it's so exciting. And that changed me. And I got back from that trip. I got back from Baltimore and I was like, let's change this. And I added athlete to my bio.
Yes! I love it. I love it. Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. Can you speak a little bit more to the experiences you've had with trying to improve inclusivity with fitness and what that has been like? Because I know that you work with a lot of brands. What have you seen and what has changed since when you started getting into this more so in 2018 to now in 2021?
Well, it's interesting because I didn't start taking on more partnerships with activewear brands really until like the last few months, because I feel like they would send me items and they'd be like, here's some activewear. We would love for you to try it out. I would try it out and I'd be like, I'm sorry, but you're a big brand name. I get that, but I know you want to pay me like whatever amount, but it's not comfortable. Like, it rolls down when I work out. There's really not really good compression. That I just think that it could be better. And I was very honest. And
good.
I think a lot of the brands were kind of at first turned off by that. And so they stopped reaching out. I didn't really have any partnerships at all with activewear. So it just didn't make sense because I couldn't find anything that was comfortable. And so I was consistently honest with them, telling them ways that they could improve, all behind the scenes. Like, this isn't stuff that I wanted to like share on my social media to be like, oh, I'm in communication or I'm doing this or that. I just felt like it was something important for me to do just on my own and see what happens. And what has now happened, which has been nice, I don't think it's just directly because of me, but I think it's as a plus size community in general that have become more outspoken with these things and demanding that we have activewear. And so now I'm actually getting more partnerships because I'm like, okay, yeah, this fits really good. Great job.
I like this. Like, yeah.
This works. This didn't roll down whenever I was exercising. And it's been kind of cool to see how brands are actually like starting to listen a little bit more now. And there's more options now. I'm actually working on my website right now because I want to have a section that's going to have all of my top recommendations that have my seal of approval, that don't roll down, that have good compression, that aren't made for somebody who's 7'3", because that's how most brands assume. It's like the bigger the size, the taller it must get as well. Doesn't really work.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so hard. I'm a big girl, but I'm only 5'5" Yeah. So it's hard to find any clothes, let alone fitness clothes. So exactly. I really appreciate you. Yeah. People have asked me, like, what are you wearing? I'm like, I don't have anything that I love to recommend. Go to Meg. Meg's got some good recommendations. And we'll be sure to put in your website, megboggs.com, in the show notes as well.
Yes. I'm just trying, you know, I'm trying my best to because, you know, so many brands reach out to me. I get it. I have a large following in a community. And so they see opportunity there for sponsored posts and stuff. And so I really try and make it clear to my community that I will never, ever, ever take on a partnership that I don't fully believe in, that I don't feel like they care about plus size active wear at all, that it's just, you know, half, you know, done.
Yeah, same.
And
I got to believe in the product and actually use it, or be something that I would have used when my kid was younger, and definitely recommend. It's important, and because you got to show up for your community first and put others first and the needs of others first. Like, yes, we're business women, but if we weren't true and had integrity, then we wouldn't be growing the community that we have and have the trust of the people that we genuinely care about. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be speaking for you, but I feel like we're on the same wavelength of, like, we do this because we want to make a difference in the world.
Yes, definitely. That's like, it's the main thing. That's the main focus. I want the world to be a better place for my daughter. You know, I don't know if she's going to be plus size, but if she is, like, I'll be damned if she has to experience half the stuff that I went through. So,
yeah, it's a lot. Well, speaking of creating change, you have Fitness for Everybody dropping on April 27th. Your book. Oh my goodness. I am so excited. Like, like bouncing up and down. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It's available for pre-order now. Please tell us what that journey was like, because in your bio, you have author first, and I've always known you as someone who loves to write and who pours their heart and soul into their writing. So to be able to blend your joy of writing and your passion for fitness, what was that experience like?
It was a lot. I did it all through when COVID first happened, and it was like, we're quarantining, and that's when I started writing it. It was like, I probably started writing this book like 2 weeks before the whole lockdown happened. Wow. And so, like, I really had no excuse because my husband was home. And so he would just like watch Macy, and I would go in the room and just like type away. Sometimes I would type at night because I would wake up at like 1 a.m. and be like, something just came to me and I have to write this down. I don't know if it's going to make it in the book, but I have to write it down. And so it was just like sporadically all of my thoughts together, and then trying to figure out with my editor how to piece everything together and make it into what it's become, because there's so many different topics that I hit. I have an entire part. There's like, it's divided into like six parts. And one of the parts is actually all based on motherhood and the whole bounce back thing. And I even mentioned you, and I share your website and how and how that impacted me. It was one of the first things that I found early on. And after I had Macy, when I was just desperately trying to figure out where do I fit in into this world? I didn't see anybody like me. And so I'm just like, I cannot wait for this call. I feel like it's been forever. It has so many different things in it. And there's body image stuff. I talk about intuitive eating and what my experience was with that when I was exploring it, and my advice for all of the different principles that come with that. I have a 12-week strength training program that all you need is body weight and dumbbells. That's very beginner focused. If somebody's never strength trained and they would love to do it from home, it's all in there.
Sign me up. I mean, I'll do it. Yes, I'm excited to read it. I need to do the muscles along with the cardio. Sounds good.
It would be perfect for you. It's easily done at home. Just a set of dumbbells. And I talk a little bit about the Under Armour, like we were talking about, in my experience with that. There's a whole chapter about just finding your inner athlete, which is my biggest like a piece of advice I guess I could give. The gym, how it feels, you know, it's so scary. How do you get past that and show up? It's just, I'm excited. I'm excited. I can't wait for, so we can like talk about it even deeper.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I know it's definitely needed, and I'm in awe of what you've built and what you've grown and how you've flourished. Like, I really just feel like you've blossomed in so many ways, including cutting off all your hair. That was so,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that moment. Because I know, especially as like women, our hair is something so close to us, but you had wanted to cut off all your hair for so long. And what was that like?
Yeah, I've wanted to cut my hair short since I can remember, probably since like middle school, when I first saw like Pink had her hair short, and I was like, that is so cool. Like, I want my hair like that. But I never saw anybody with it like that. And if you did have it like that, like, people would make assumptions about you, and it was just seemed negative. And I'm like, well, I'm not comfortable in myself to do that, so I'm never going to do it. Well, it turned out that, a few months ago, I did a little story, and I did like a Q&A, and somebody asked me, would I ever like change my hair? Or it was just something really random like that. Or like, what's your dream hairstyle? And I put a picture of something like how I have now. And I was like, I don't know, maybe soon. And I got so many responses to that. I was like, oh my gosh, like, people actually think I'd look, it would fit me. Like, I was still doubting myself at that time. I was like, I don't think it would look good on me. You know, everybody always told me that I wouldn't be.
Oh my God, it's you. And so it's like shaved on the sides, and it's just very curly on the top. So it's very, very short, but it is so hot on you. Like, with curls. Oh my gosh. You kill that hairstyle. Like, it's the Meg. Like, it's so good. But that must have also been so freeing. And I feel like especially as someone who exists in a larger body, we have all these extra do's and don'ts. And one of the don'ts so often is to cut your hair super, super short.
Yes. And that's exactly what every hairstylist would tell me. I'd come in and say, I think I want to go short. And they'd be like, how short? Because I feel like you need to keep like a face frame. And I'm like, I don't want to do a face frame anymore. I just want to get rid of it. And I want to discover my curls again, because I had permanently straightened my hair for years. Yeah. Since high school, I was straightening
and
it.
Your curls are gorgeous.
I never let myself embrace them. And the moment that I started doing that, I actually kept it long. I cut it to like my shoulders. I kept it about like that length. And then I just wanted to see like what the curls would be like. So I started letting it grow out. And once I started playing with the curls, I was like, okay, I'm starting to actually embrace my hair. It's time that I just go all in. Like, I need to go all in, because I can feel myself craving it, and I'm going to do it. And I cried after I got it done, and I was driving home. I was like crying because I was just so happy. I was like, I feel like me. Like, I've never felt like this me before.
You can see it. You can see it in you. Like, this is you, and you are coming full circle, I feel, in so many ways, from the new mom trying to find herself and embrace her stretch marks and having photos of your, you know, that underbelly that we never show, you know, and that you showed and that you put it out there as a plus size person. So often it's the tiny moms that are brave. And I believe that they are brave. Absolutely. But they are touted on this pedestal. And yet when someone, you know, your size, or heaven forbid, even my size, were to do something like that, then it's, you know, we're glorifying obesity, whatever that means. And it's like, but you showed up and you built a community that supported you in showing up and continuing to grow and to expand and to try new things and to come into your own. And that's not to say that you don't have struggles, as we've clearly talked about during our time together. You still struggle, but because you're human, and that we're always going to have our moments of struggle, but we're always going to continue to try to show up in the world and in our daily lives. And You inspire so many, Meg, and I'm truly thankful that you continue to be you and to fight hard to just exist and to make a difference and to let everyone know that they have the right to love themselves as they are today and to let go of so many mixed messages that there are out in the world telling us that we're not good enough as we are.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate how much you've just supported me since back then, before I really even fully supported myself. It's just, it means so much.
I always saw something within you. Like, I knew that you were a change maker, that you are. And I'm just so incredibly proud of you. And this is just the beginning, girl. Like, this is just the beginning. And I know this book is going to explode and it's going to touch so many people's lives. And I can't wait to see what unfolds next. I mean, you know, who knows? The sky's the limit. And it has been, you know, because of so many people before us that existed in larger bodies that have kind of paved the way for you and many others to, you know, go forward and say, no, we're going to continue to create change. And now we're going to demand that clothing stores have sizes for us. We're not just going to accept something because, like, I need a sports bra to walk. So I was wearing a bra in the beginning and I was getting horrible, not even chafing, like cuts in my skin.
I can imagine.
And it's so still hard to find that. So I'm so incredibly thankful for you for speaking up. That must have been terrifying, but now liberating, and it led to you adding athlete in your bio. And now you always were an athlete. I want to say that you always were. and now you stand proudly as an athlete. You are incredible, Meg. And
well,
I wonder,
you.
Do you, through looking back on all of this journey, what would you have to share with someone who comes to your feed or who's about to go to your feed and find inspiration, but they're trying to find that inner athlete within themselves or just that inner ability to feel comfortable showing up in the world? What is your wisdom to them?
I would just say to always start with one moment. And I know it might be cliche or whatever, but honestly, just you pick one thing. It could be anything. It could be a walk, you know, how you're doing. It could be just having a moment where you do a quick 10-minute yoga session online. Just pick one thing and just allow yourself to live in that moment and see what it feels like and to actually live for a bit. And it's going to start with those little moments like that. And instead of being like, okay, well, I'm going to go all in. So I'm going to start Monday morning and then I'm going to go Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And then I'm going to, like, if you start making those, like, some people can do that, but not everybody can. And the best way to kind of figure that out for yourself, if you've never really explored movement, is to pick one thing, one moment, and give that your all in, give that your full self and see what it feels like, and document after, whether it's just internally or on paper, how that felt and how it made you feel. In my book, that's what one of the things at the very beginning of the fitness section, well, I mean, it's all kind of fitness, but you know, where I have a couple questions, some thought starters before you begin any type of movement, and journal that, write that down, answer those questions. And you'll kind of start to figure out, okay, well, maybe I'm not ready for that. Maybe I need to start here since I just answered that question and it feels like it's not, I don't want to give it all away, but you know, it's just the one moment is going to be the biggest difference maker, because I know that that's what worked best for me. And I don't know about you. I know that you had a big goal that you set, and I'm curious how that, how did you make that decision? I know I'm like interviewing you now, but I'm just curious.
No, I love it. No, that's fun. I was really depressed and really missing my family in California a lot. And so it's 800 miles from my home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to them in Fullerton, California. And I wanted something to look forward to after a year of drinking heavily and not moving my body. And so I started by not drinking. And I did that for like a month and a half of just focusing on that, not even moving yet. And then I knew, okay, I can sustain this. I don't want to drink anymore. Now I'm going to build in exercise and walking, and having that goal just made it exciting. And so every day when I'm about to leave the house for my walk, I take a selfie and I send it to my mom and my dad and sister. And so they're cheering me on. And then when I'm done with my walk, I kind of just give them a little update. And so in a way, it is like journaling through photos and a couple sentences. So I definitely want to start journaling more. I love that suggestion of yours. But for me, it has connected me back to my family and has rooted my feet in movement towards a goal that feels great. But I also, that your advice of putting it all into one thing is so helpful, because I am that all or nothing person. So mm-hmm. I was showing up every day to the point of almost hurting myself. So I've learned, okay, Jen, like, just today is the day. You do what feels good, and listening to my body and not pushing too hard has allowed me to sustain. And so we're recording now near the end of February, and I'm 117 miles into my 800. And that's like wow. Unfathomable to me. Like, I just can't believe I've already gone that far, but it feels so good. And it has helped me I still am not drinking alcohol, and I'm still feeling so much better in my body and especially my mental health. So all the wisdom that you have shared is definitely what I've applied to my journey, and it makes such a difference, and it feels so good.
But it is hard. I'm getting like emotional over here.
But it is hard. Like, I don't go to a gym, but you know, I am out in public, and I've had people, you know, stare at me, of course, and I've had some people honk at me, and it's hard to show up still sometimes. So I'm really excited to read your book and get more wisdom around that. I still do it, and like, I'll even like do my stretches at like when I'm waiting across the street and waiting for the stoplight, and I'm like, girl, you gotta stretch. If you don't stretch, you know, you're gonna be in pain. And so I'm like, I'm gonna show up, I'm gonna, you know, whatever, my big booty's stretching on the ground, I don't care. But there are still some times when it's hard too, so
That's amazing.
I'm appreciative of you. Well, you did help inspire it, absolutely. I remember one of my first posts when I was talking about this journey, I shared one of your reels. It's actually in my highlight for 800 miles and walking is you. You're in it, Meg, at the very beginning. Are so you've made a huge impact in my life, and I'm so thankful that you are, you know, supportive of me too. And I love that our first episode that we recorded, episode 19 of the podcast, was you sharing your pregnancy and birth story. And now I'm interviewing you as your massive book's about to launch. And like, you are just so amazing and inspiring. And I love this time that we've had together. And I can't wait for the next time I get to interview you when you're, I don't know, like, where's the sky's the limit, you know? So it's so exciting. Where can people find you now that they have to tap into you?
Well, on Instagram and TikTok, I have the same name. It's just at meg.boggs. I'm also on Twitter at meg5boggs. And my website is megboggs.com. It's all pretty simple. It's just all my name.
Awesome. Well, I'll put everything over in the show notes at plusmommy.com. And I can't encourage you all enough to follow her on Instagram, or if you're one of the cool kids on TikTok, you know.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
Go there too. Oh, Meg, congratulations. Be sure to pick up the book, Fitness for Everybody, that comes out on April 27th, available everywhere. And here's to the unlimited and unstoppable future, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, friends. Until next time, take care. Bye.
Bye.